The opposition leader Bill Shorten has laid out ambitious plans for renewable energy, a republic timetable and equal parliamentary representation for women in his opening address to Labour's National Conference. After announcing on Wednesday that he wanted Labour to support turning back asylum boats, Mr. Shorten didn't mention that topic in his major speech. He did receive enthusiastic cheers for the announcements he made, especially on renewable energy and climate change, but the party is still considering how to respond to his divisive plan to support a policy that includes turning back asylum boats. Political correspondent Louise Yaxley.
Mr. Shorten told the conference Labour's ready to fight an election.
To lead a smart, modern and fair Australia. Ready, friends, to advance Australia.
He unveiled policies including that within 10 years, 50% of Labour parliamentarians should be women.
Our goal should be nothing less than the equal participation of women in work, equal pay for women at work, and an equal voice for women across our parliament.
He also set out a timetable for Australia to become a republic in a decade. But the strongest ovation was for his risky move to dare the government to fight the next election on climate change.
A shortened Labor government will build an emissions trading scheme for Australia, and we will not be intimidated by the ridiculous, ignorant, fear-mongering scare campaigns that will come. We will win this argument.
While many delegates are cheering his stand on an emissions trading scheme, many are angry at his plan for a boat turnback policy. He didn't mention it in his speech, but Mr. Shorten was still booed when he mentioned his immigration spokesman Richard Marles while thanking front benches. Mr. Marles faced a feisty crowd at a Labor for Refugees event this afternoon. He defended his plan but clearly left many in the crowd unconvinced.
Knowing that we know 1,200 people died and they are not dying now, were we to go down a path of reopening that journey again? You can forget about a future Labor government being remembered for anything else. We will be condemned by history. We will be condemned by history. More than that, in being condemned by history, we would be consumed by that journey again as we were when we were last in office.
Refugee issues are due to be dealt with tomorrow. Today, the party updated its platform on trade. Labor's trade spokeswoman Penny Wong says the party is pro-trade, but it's voted today to try to amend legislation for the free trade deal with China to include mandatory skills testing for workers brought in. Paul Bastion from the AMWU attacked the China free trade deal.
And you need to go no further for an example than the China free trade agreement. A sellout on jobs. A sellout on the rights of workers and their safety, whether they are guest workers in this country or whether they are domestic workers. And they are us. It is a sellout on Australia's sovereignty. A dud deal, a stuff up by Tony Abbott, a deal that would never get past first base if these amendments are adopted. I commend them to you.
Michael O'Connor from the CFMEU told the conference the party's not anti-trade.
This campaign's not about trade. This campaign is about stopping greedy bastards trying to destroy Australian jobs.
Labor's also moved to review ISDS, that's Investor State Dispute Settlement Provisions, which can mean foreign companies can sue the government, such as Philip Morris Tobacco Company, suing over the plain packaging of cigarettes. Left faction MP Terry Butler told the conference the provisions make it harder for Labor to make big picture changes.
For our party, a party that has introduced so many nation-building reforms, to be in a position where we can take action to stop these ISDS provisions, we absolutely should do so. Delegates, imagine if in introducing Medicare, in reintroducing Medicare, Bob Hawke had to take into account whether a big private medical company might find that its profits were affected and take us to an international arbitration court. If that is not a sufficient example, I don't know what is.
Labor frontbencher Anthony Albanese successfully moved a motion for a so-called Buffett tax to ensure high-income earners pay a minimum amount of tax.
The Australian Tax Office figures from 2011-12 show precisely why I believe very firmly that such a policy is needed. There, they found that 75 wealthy Australians earning
more than $1 million a year paid no tax. Of those 75, they had a combined pre-tax income of $195 million. But their accountants managed to reduce their collective taxable incomes to just $82. That's $82 in total out of $195 million that was earned. That is simply unacceptable.
That report prepared by Louise Yaxley.